I would like to turn to a few scriptures for a few minutes in light of what we have taken up in the last 2 days. I'm mostly still occupied with the thoughts of that which is mighty. And I trust that the verses that we will take up will be additional help for us. Somehow for all of us, young and old alike, to understand the mind of God in relationship to these things that we have been taking up, and especially the thought of the battle and the struggles that we face in this scene. So the first scripture, just I want to take it in light of exhortation. I want to turn to the book of Joel. Chapter 3. And I want to take part of a verse, which is verse 9. Just a part of it. Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. Wake up. It's in the middle of the verse. Wake up, the mighty man. Wake up, the mighty man. The book of Psalms, Psalm 24. And I would like to read verses from 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. We continue in the book of Psalms, and I want to go all the way to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I want to read verses 4 and 5. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall face the enemy at the gate. And the last scriptures that was quoted earlier in the book of the Song of Songs, and my highlight is not to discuss things that were really discussed, not to repeat them, but to take a couple of words that have significance for us to understand the mind of God. And of course, it's verse 7 and 8 of Song of Songs, chapter 3. Song of Songs, chapter 3. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it. So what I want to take up is the number. That's the thing that I want to highlight to you. The 70, which is 60. Remember that number, 60. Are about it. They are of the valiant of Israel. They all hold. The second thing that I want to take up is the word hold. To understand it in the light of the word of God. What's that word means, the word hold. And then, being expert in war, every man has his sword upon his thigh. That's the third word that we want to take up by the grace and the help of the Lord. So we want to take up these few scriptures by the help of the Lord to somehow encourage our hearts once more. So if I ask the question, what was the first two studies? What would be the word to briefly summarize it? What was the subject about? The first two studies we had.
Discipleship.
Discipleship. Thank you. So discipleship, we have taken it from the light of what are the things that will not make us a disciple. It was the negative aspect of it, where the Lord Jesus said three times, ye cannot be my disciple if you will not prefer me, if you will not give me the preeminence, if you will not forsake all, and all these wonderful exhortation that was, we have to do it in order for us to be disciples. But I want to leave you with that word of challenge. When you go home, I want you to read three chapters in the Gospel of John. The first chapter, I don't want to tell you just verse. And I think you have noticed by now, I am, might be, like we said earlier, we might be different brothers, but there is always the same goal. I like to quote the verse, and I like you to find it. I like you to find it. So this is why I'm going to give you chapters. I want you to read them. That in the Gospel of John, he gives us another aspect of discipleship. The first thing, that if ye shall abide in my words, ye are my disciples, if ye abide where? In my words. So the word of God is very essential for me and you to help me in my discipleship. It is not a matter of I read. It is a matter of abiding. It's a matter of dwelling. It's a matter when you dwell with somebody, what happens? You are acquainting yourself with that person. The Lord Jesus, when he was asked, where dwellest thou? Come and see. Be acquainted with me. You know, there were the friends of Job who has said it. It wasn't in the right timing, but it's a wonderful verse. It wasn't in the right timing, they said it. We know that. But I don't want to dwell on these things. But they said to Job, by lack of understanding, but the verse is right, acquaint thyself with Jehovah. And the only way that you and me, young brothers, young sisters, to acquaint yourself with Jehovah, it has to be on the foundation and the basis of the Word of God. You can read so many other books. It's not going to acquaint you with the Lord. It's not going to acquaint you with the Word of God. It has to be abide, dwell in my words. The second one I want you to read. Now we said this is the Gospel of John chapter. We said, I didn't give the verse, but I gave the chapter. What was it? Chapter 8. I want you to read John chapter 8 when you go home. Okay? Is that a deal? Yeah? Okay. We'll see. The second chapter I like you to read from the Gospel of John is John chapter 13. Another thing about discipleship, and that theme is not dwelling or abiding in the Word. Ye are my disciples if ye abide in my Word. But when ye love one another, ye are my disciples. The way we display love amongst the saints of God will display before the world that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. And it's not that kind of love of satisfaction, you know. The world have a different definition for love. The scripture teaches of a love that we have obtained. You know why we have obtained it? Because of the new nature. Love, the divine love is now native to the new nature. When you are born anew by the grace of God, you start loving in a way that God loved. But the second thing that I want to impress upon you when you leave this place, it's not a matter that we came, we attended the conference, we were exhorted, and then we don't see each other till the next time. There need to be this fellowship and the expression of love that is seen amongst one another, because that's another sign or display of discipleship. The last chapter is John chapter. So we said chapter, what's the first one? Second one? The third one? 15. You've got a point, Brother Tony. Chapter 15 gives us the third aspect of discipleship in a positive way, and it is in relationship to bearing fruits. You know, it will be said, I'm going to stand here and confess. It will be absolutely said, if we come under the sound of the Word of God for 2 days, we learn about discipleship and we learn about to be mighty men, mighty individual, and go to our local testimonies, And there is no fruits that will display that this is what we were under the sound of God, the word of God. There's no fruits of it. The Christian, the disciple of the Lord Jesus, is an individual that will bear fruit. And that fruit is not something that I need to see. God will see it. But there is a response for the love and for the cost that we have counted in following the Lord Jesus Christ, that in this discipleship, I'm going to bear fruit. And how are you going to bear fruit? You're going to say something. Act in a way. Do something. That's all the features of bearing fruit. So I trust that there will be an evidence in your life and mine. When we go back to our own local testimony, when I go back to Wayne as an individual, I trust that there is evidence that I have enjoyed and learned tremendously from the Word of God, and there is a fruit that's displaying such an evidence of blessing that we have received. So that's the first two studies. The second or the last few studies, it was about the mighty men. And that's why the first exhortation I want to encourage the young ones is, wake up the mighty men. Listen. God in His goodness, and what's more, I want to bring that verse in Psalm 18. Thy gentleness had made me great. This is why we need to settle right away that if there is any might, if there is any little strength, if there is all these features, it's not because of you, it's not because of me. It's not because you are a strong man and tough boy, and it's not because you are a pretty girl. You are not going to get these resources because of what you have in yourself physically or within yourself. The only way you're going to obtain might, the only way you're going to be considered great, it is the sovereign work of God, and it was His gentleness, His kindness that have made us great. Let me give you a verse. That the saints of God are great. That's a position that we all were brought into. You still remember that holy chapter in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. What happens at the end of it? Here's the Lord Jesus in His suffering love. And He's obtaining your soul and mind. And He's carrying your sorrows and mind. And at the end of that chapter, around the end of Isaiah 53, He says, and I, who's saying I? God Himself shall divide him the spoil with who? With the great. It is with you and I. Now think of that for a moment, young ones. That the blessed God is going to share the spoil of all what Christ has done with you and with me. Can you fathom it? Can you understand it? Can you explain it? I can't, but it is the gentleness of God has made us mighty, has made us great. Now the challenge is practically how I'm going to live it out. How are you going to live it out? How are you going to live the position and the blessing that God has brought me into? That's why I read the remainder of these verses. The first thing I want you to ever always take the source. You can never say it enough. You have to go to back to the source. That we said that the mighty men of David took character from who? From David. Now that's the reason I don't want to go into the scene of the kingdom. That is not the discussion in Psalm 24. I'm sure brethren could expound on it and bring these wonderful scene to come. The King of glory, the Lord Jesus. But I wanted to impress upon you that you and I, when we act on the ground of being mighty for God, we are bearing the character of Jehovah. Do you think there's something greater than this? You know, sometimes when we look at our children and they are bearing our character, or when we are looking at our children in the meeting and they are bearing the characteristics of older brethren, older brother, older sisters, it thrills our heart. It thrills our heart to see them. You know what? There is something of good influence, the good influence of the brethren reflecting in them. Well, let me tell you about a greater influence now. When you see characteristics of Christ being formed in the believer, there's nothing greater than this. Believe it or not, our eternal destiny requires we shall be like Him. You know, Mr. Darby, when he wrote hymn 247, I would suggest that's a man that took many characteristics from Christ. And is it so we shall be like thy son. Is this the grace that he for us has won? Because he was a mighty man. We understand that he was a mighty man. But the scripture says the Lord is mighty in battle. And every time that word comes, most of the times, I shouldn't say every time, but most of the time the word mighty that we have discussed in relationship to the mighty men of David, it is, I shouldn't say always, it is many times in relationship to battle. It is not only that I have taken an office of mighty and I sit home and do nothing. No, 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 no. Mightiness expresses itself in the environment of warfare. So this is when you go to the scripture and do your homework, because you have to check off everything that I'm saying. You would see that so many times in the Bible, when that word is being taken up, it is taken up in light of battle. That's why when the scripture says about the mighty men of David, what does he record to us right away? He records different battles are taking place. And for you and for I to be in such a wonderful position, we take character from who? From the Lord Jesus himself. You know, because the Bible says Jehovah is mighty in battle. The battle of battles. In the day of days, when Christ went all the way to Calvary, Jehovah was mighty in battle. He won the fiercest, worst battle ever that anyone could face. It was the battle over your soul and mind. But the thing that I want to highlight before you, don't minimize it. That when you act on the ground that I am being mighty for God, somehow I am bearing a character of Christ. Because Jehovah is mighty. The second verse that I read was from Psalm 127. And I'm going to close with the verse we read in Joel at the end. So Psalm 127 says what? As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Mighty one. I'm going to suggest to you. I don't know if you've ever seen a mighty man, how he handles the arrow. There is some beauty in seeing, you know, so many of us, we bring that arrow and bow and arrow and vroom, and you know what? You cry to the neighbors, Ben, go down! Because there is no aim. There is no, what's that?
Control.
Yeah, there's no control. We're not seeing the target. We're not that good. But when you have a mighty man with an arrow, you will be amazed. Of when they throw that arrow, they bring it straight to the target. Right in the middle. And dear young ones, we want to be like these arrows. We want to leave this conference, you and I being like an arrow in the hand of the Lord Jesus. Let him shoot these arrows and bring us whatever he wants. Because when we are being used by him as an arrow, we will hit the target, the goal that he wants us to hit. That he wants us to take up. But the challenge is that you and I allow him to be the one who's going to throw that arrow. What is the result when he is molding me? He is shaping that arrow. What's the result of it? You know what he says? He says, they shall not be ashamed. The mighty men of David, you have mentioned, Brother Emil, earlier, that who came to David? When they were mighty, they were identified with a rejected David. It wasn't David, King David, and he has a throne and everybody is bowing before David. It wasn't so. They identified, they loved him in the days of his rejection, when they were in debt, when they were discontent, when they were in misery, when they were facing all the enmity surrounding them from King Saul and so forth. This is the time they loved David. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. There were few, and I could just imagine, forgive me, I don't like imagination, but I could tell. If somebody would have said a word in front of them about David, you see, at that time they had no mercy. You're saying something about David? What? I'm telling you, these men were proud of David. They made it known. These men, when they walked on the street around David, every single individual knew that these are the mighty men of David. Now we go back to school. And now we go back to work. And some of us, maybe we go back to nowhere. I don't know. School, I hope you're working. I hope you're studying. I don't like you to stay home. You have to do something. But the practical challenge to me is, who is going to notice that you are the mighty individual of the Lord Jesus? One thing that will display it is that you're not ashamed of Christ. They shall not be, these are the arrows, you know, here we go, the arrows, but they shall not be ashamed. If there was a true mighty man of Christ, I could say it was the Apostle Paul. Oh, there were plenty. He had the three. He had the three privately, you know. He had Peter, John, and James. But he has one that exceeded all, if I can say it respectfully. It was the Apostle Paul himself, which I certainly like to think that he was the mightiest of them all. You know what he stood for? I am not ashamed. And I'm going to challenge you, when you go back to school, when you go back to work, make it known you are a Christian. Let people know that I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in our days, in 2015, they ask, are you a Christian? Yeah. You know, I'm serious. You hear it all the time. We don't want to come direct and say, well, I am Christian, saved by the grace of God. We just want to say, yeah, I was born Christian. Well, I'm not asking if you were born. Nobody is born Christian. If there is a work of God in your own soul, you make it known. When the arrow is in the hand of the mighty man, there is something that was generated in their own soul. They're not ashamed. I am not ashamed. And Paul, when he was exhorting a young man like Timothy, he says, be ye not ashamed. And if you have a desire after 2 days to live for God as a mighty individual, I beg you, even tonight, don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it known that he is dear to my own soul. And when somebody jokes about him, when somebody makes fun of him, I expect you to stand as a mighty man, as a mighty woman, and say, don't speak about my Savior this way. You have every right to say it. I'm telling you, there's something that we need to allow the Spirit of God to form in us. You look at, Christianity is not a religion, but you look at other religions, if they drew something disrespectful about their prophet, I am telling you, the world is turned upside down about it. And probably a lot of the chaos that we are observing and witnessing in France and other lands is due to people that made a little joke about a certain prophet. They are willing to turn the earth upside down. And I'm not telling you to be violent, God forbid, because Christianity is love. But don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, and don't go along with the jokes of this world that make fun of my Lord and your Savior. They are not ashamed. And what's the end result? And they shall face the enemy. They shall speak. The scripture says it's not only faith, but they shall speak to the enemy. What are you going to speak to the enemy? You're going to speak to him. You know what? There are some people that might stop you, or in college there might be, you know, sometimes we talk about Jehovah's Witness coming to the door, but some of you might face somebody like this at college, at school, at work, I don't know. These are the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to say this, and please forgive me. If you're not acquainted with the scripture, don't speak to nobody. If you're not acquainted with the scriptures, don't speak. But when the psalmist is saying, and they shall speak to the enemy of the gate, these arrows have been molded in the hand of the master. In the hand of the mighty one. That now they have been acquainted with the word of God. We've been crying, we've been begging for years for every one of you to be acquainted with the word of God. Because it's the only means that God has given to us to be able to speak to the enemy, to face the enemy. After all, if there is any change that will come to any soul, it is through the words of the word of God. Are you willing to be? It's challenging, right? Are you willing to be molded by the mighty man and make you an arrow for his use? Where once you are really in his hand, you will stand for him regardless of the circumstances because you will not be ashamed. Are you willing to acquaint yourself with the scripture? We've been asking, we've been begging, we've been exhorted to read the scriptures as much as the Lord will give us opportunity. It is then when I acquaint myself with Jehovah, when I acquaint myself with the word of God, I will have the ability, through the help of the Spirit of God, to speak. And lastly, is the sword of Solomon. You know, many of us will understand that that bed is where Solomon rested. And I'd like to suggest that's the bed of Solomon. That's where Christ, everything that of Christ, practically, is in this book. This is the bed. If I want to call it this way, with all reverence, this is the bed of Christ. This is what all I need to know about Christ is here. But there is 60. I said the first word is what? 60. Let me tell you, I'm a man that believes in numbers. You know, earlier somebody asked why three and what's number one speaks of. And, you know, there is a godly brother, Brother F.W. Grant. He loves numbers as well. And you know what? You bring any number in the scripture and he'll give you something that he has gleaned from the word of God as to this number. 60 to me is 10 by 6. What's the number of 6? If I ask, what's number 6?
The number of men.
Number of men. Number of evil, right? And number 10? Say that.
Responsibility.
So what's the first lesson? Despite the evilness and the dark days we're living in, we're responsible to live as mighty men. Although it is so wicked out there, there are certain things I have to confess before you. We've been talking amongst ourselves. We would have never dreamed that we'll be living to witness these things. It's evil out there. For the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. But wickedness does not take away my responsibility. In the day of wickedness, in days of evil, I'm responsible to stand for God. I'm responsible to act as a mighty man. But these mighty men, what's the second word I said? I said the first we're going to discuss is the number. The second word? Hold. That word hold now. It's not like, okay, like we hold the Bible. Everybody can hold the Bible, right? This is not what the word speaks. I'm going to give you a verse that is going to amaze you. It's the same word. The holding is, that word, it's not like everybody can hold the sword. Okay, of course everybody. Everybody can hold the sword. But the word of that word holding, as far as Solomon is concerned, is that doesn't let go. That's the word holding. It doesn't drop from you. It doesn't get away from you. It doesn't get out of your hand. Let me give you the verse to support that. It is exactly the same word. So when you look at the word hold, you're always helpful to go to the first time it's mentioned. You know what's mentioned? Genesis 22. The ram that was caught, that word caught is the same word as the whole, by its thicket. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that that ram could have escaped the thicket that God has bound him there? You think that ram would have, was able to flee? Was able to let go? Was able to run away from Abraham? It was impossible. Because it was tied by divine power. It was there as a substitute for Isaac. It's the same word as being caught. That word hold means you never let go of the sword. And isn't this like, again, the word of God? The sword of the Spirit. You never let it go. That's why it's always the weapon, going back to your question in the morning. That's why it is the type of the word of God, because the exhortation is for the mighty men of Solomon, is that when they take hold of that sword, it was never gonna let go. So the word of God, dear young ones, never let it go. And the last word for the night was, we said, thigh. What is the thigh speaks of? You know, it is said that the most powerful part in your body is the thigh. In fact, you want to learn a good lesson about the thigh? Read about who? Jacob. Where the Lord has to hit the hollow of his what? His thigh, so that enough of yourself. You have enough of your own strength. Enough of your own devices. Enough of your own thoughts. Enough of your own energy. Enough of me. What should have occupied their thigh? It's the sword, the same sword. They hold sword, and that sword that they hold is where? By their thigh. Listen, dear brethren, if there is something that we can do for Christ, if we are mighty individuals that we can fight for Christ, it has to come through the ability of the Spirit of God. And that's why the thigh is very important to me. That what was next to the thigh, it wasn't their hands and it wasn't their own things. It was the same sword that they should ever hold. And that's the sword, the word that is given to us by the Spirit of God. Dear brethren, these are the words I had. I trust that it will challenge my own heart to be mighty for Him, to live responsibly in this scene. And if you're not getting it, I'm going to tell you again the verse in Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, the mighty man. Wake up. We can't continue year after year after year after year. Just somehow, spiritually, we're always sleeping. The exhortation of that mighty man we spoke about, the Apostle Paul, says, awake thou. Thou sleepest from amongst what? The dead. Awake. And young ones, trust me, it is time to be awakened. It is time to be used of the Lord. It is time to start living out being mighty for Christ. It is time not to be ashamed. It is time to speak to the enemy. It is time to acquaint ourselves with the Word of God. It is time to live responsibly in the times we are living in. It is time to hold that sword and not let go. And I trust that each and every one of us, when we go back to our own local testimonies, that if you would remember one thing, is you never let go. Never let go of the Word of God. Never give up the Word of God. Buy the truth and sell it not. And don't let it get out of your hand. Always in my heart, lest I sin against you. And I trust that that will be so, for His name's sake.
Amen.